America, it's a great place to live. Great freedom that we experience here. Freedom, an American gift. An American gift that many of us did not earn, but a freedom that we get to live out. A gift that we get to live out. As we look across the landscape of this great land, we all know too well it's easy to complain and criticize about the problems in our country. The political quagmire and the divide in our nation seems to continue to grow with each passing day. It's easy to become discouraged with such things as the national debt, the moral decline, gender confusion, partisan over country, dishonesty in government, fake news, moral decline, illegal alien invasion, as we witness our country drift further and further and further away from God. It's exhausting as we observe our nation's growing adversarial approach to God, its rejection of divine authority, its rejection of divine truth, and the increasing public denial of God's existence. This growing denial of God has confused our nation's moral conscience. It's resulted in this expansion of self-serving politics, and it has resulted in the huge chasm developing between the citizens in our land. And the reason I say that is that God predicts such a thing would happen in Amos 3:3 many centuries ago. He said, "Shall two walk together except they be agreed?" And when you pause to think about that, the decline in America's unity is a traceable event. And here's what I mean. Historically, our country, the United States of America, has generally held the conviction that we are a Judeo-Christian ethnic nation. This conviction was basic and fundamental to not only the founding of our nation, but also the ongoing existence of our nation. This thought is reflected in America's founding documents. For instance, the Declaration of Independence states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." This thought is further encouraged in our American history with our national motto, "In God We Trust." However, this is not the opinion of many people in our country today. As a nation, we've lost our identity and we've turned away from the Christian heritage on which we've been established. This has resulted in a national confusion over what is right and wrong. Our citizens no longer share the common agreement on the Judeo-Christian ethic. And thus, as Amos said, we do not walk together in this land. Some in our country believe that we owe the blessings of our life to chance, accidental life, life coming from non-life. While others, like me, believe life is a gift given to us by divine fiat, and it has full eternal purpose in it. Some in our nation believe mankind is the supreme being and has the right to set its own rules and regulations of what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is moral, what is immoral. While others believe that God is supreme. He sets the standard of right and wrong. And He is the one who created the people in His image, and we are accountable to Him. You see, these basic differences of belief concerning creation and accountability only serve to confuse our national conscience. And the natural consequence of these differences and how people think and feel as we drift from the Judeo-Christian ethic principle that our nation was established on has resulted in divide in the nation, It has resulted in discord and animosity and distrust and resentment and hatred and manipulation. The core values of Christianity upon which our country was founded are being systematically destroyed in the public arena. However, let us continue to make our boast in the Lord. For it is God that it is on Him that we still trust. I still love America and continue to ask God to mend our every flaw. Church, tomorrow is Memorial Day, America's day of commemoration and remembrance of those who gave their lives while serving our country in the armed forces. Memorial Day is a day in which we honor and pay tribute to those who have fought for our freedom unto their death. It is a day of somber remembrance as we pause from the busyness of American life and remember with gratitude the women and men who have provided us a priceless freedom by dying in defense of our American freedom. As we think of Memorial Day and those who have died in defense of our freedom, let us also remember that for every death by which our freedom has been purchased, there is a family that has been left behind to experience a lifetime of ongoing suffering and anguish, as there will always be an empty seat at their table due to war's desolation and the death of their loved one. I sat down this week and totaled up all the American military's death that could be accounted for during the course of our country's history, and there have been roughly somewhere around 1.3 to 1.4 million deaths of armed force personnel serving our country in various situations. Now, to bring that number to perspective, this is an average of one American death every 75 seconds over a three-year period. That equates to 8,654 American military's deaths every week for a period of 3 years. That's 37,500 deaths every month for a period of 3 years. The number of American deaths exceed the entire population of the state of Montana by 300,000 to 400,000. The total number of counted deaths does not include those that are missing in action, nor the people who died prematurely from injury due to war or chemical exposure, nor does it count those who, as a result of PTSD, have committed suicide. So that number is really much larger. To these great Americans and their families, let us never forget and let us never fail to show our humble gratitude for the price paid for our freedom. This Memorial Day, as it has been with past Memorial Days, many people in our country, they will laugh and eat and celebrate the good life in America with their family and friends, but they'll be oblivious to the price paid for our freedom. On the other hand, there will be many other families who will grieve deeply for the empty seat at their table, for their loved one who has paid that ultimate price for our American benefit. And so I want to encourage you, church, let us celebrate our freedom this Memorial Day by remembering and honoring our servicemen and women who have died. Let us honor and pray for those families who are suffering the pain and separation from a loved one who died serving our country. Let us honor our Gold Star families. Just a bit of history. What is a Gold Star family? A Gold Star family is one that has lost a loved one to death, an immediate family member, while that family member was participating in certain military activities of the armed forces. A gold star is a person or a gold star family is the relatives of the deceased, the parents, the sons, the daughters, the brothers, sisters, or other loved ones. Now, the term gold star was first introduced in World War I. In America, during World War I, families flew flags with the blue star representing each loved one that was at that time serving our country and fighting in the war against Germany. If a loved one was killed in service to our country, the blue star flag was replaced with the gold star flag. And the gold star flag let the community know the sacrifices made by the armed force member for the freedom that we have and the cost to their family, the price that they paid for what we have in our freedom. The stars were used to honor the deceased sacrifice made for our country and to acknowledge the ongoing pain and loss and anguish of the family. Beloved, our freedom in America is a costly freedom. Therefore, we should live our freedom with dignity and thankfulness and appreciation, spending our freedom in honoring God, loving our country, and serving our fellow citizens. Regardless of how many people turn away from our Christian heritage as a nation, we as the family of God should always view ourselves and our country as one nation under God. We should live our freedom as the good book says in Ephesians 5, 15 through 18 on the front of your bulletin there. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Within the freedom granted to us as American citizens, to understand the will of the Lord and to live it out is our privilege. Let us live well, making the most of every day's opportunity to honor God, to do good to others, and to share Christ openly and freely. Let us not squander our freedom with worthless endeavors and the pursuit of the vile things of the world. Let us not acquiesce our freedom to the bondage of evil. We have been given much by the Lord. Let us value this gift of freedom that the rest of the world can only dream of, and let us use it wisely. Today, I want to share with you a story that I share with you almost every Memorial Day. I do this because I believe it reflects what our attitude and spirit ought to be on Memorial Day. This story reminds me that every military death, every combat injury, whether it's physical or mental, has an adverse impact on many, many people. Death and injury from war are like a rock thrown into the middle of a calm pond. The ripples of the rock affect the entire pond. Not only does war take a person from earth too early, but the family members, the friends left behind, suffer the emptiness. Now, there's much controversy over how Memorial Day had its beginning, but one story in particular, this one that I share with you each year, touches my heart, and it reflects the spirit and heart of Memorial Day. In April of 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, an elderly woman went to decorate the graves of her two sons that were killed in the Civil War, both of whom served as Confederate soldiers. While walking through the cemetery, the woman discovered two mounds of dirt that marked two graves which contained the remains of two unknown Union soldiers. The woman, after honoring her sons by decorating their grave in memory of their lives, then went home and returned to the cemetery. With a sense of compassion and tenderness, the woman went about decorating the graves of the two unknown Union soldiers, the enemy. A friend of the woman, indignant and outraged with the woman's action, scolded her. "What in the world are you doing? Do you not know these are the graves of two Union soldiers? They may have been the men responsible for killing your sons. The woman replied, I know. And I also know that somewhere in the north, a mother and perhaps the young men's wives and maybe even their children mourn for them as I do for mine. War is ugly and painful for both sides. War kills people who have loved ones who sorrow their loss every day. Thus, regardless of our political affiliation, regardless of our personal feelings on war, regardless of whether they are on our side or the other side, for every death in war, there are moms and dads who grieve, there are spouses and children who grieve, there are grandparents who grieve, there are siblings who grieve, there are aunts and uncles who grieve. Let us not allow the statistics to desensitize us to the pain of war's cost or to minimize the sacrifice for the freedom that we enjoy in our country. In 1863, President Lincoln delivered an address during a national proclamation of prayer and repentance. That part that I want to read for you is on the back of your bulletin. His address reflects so much of what our nation needs right now. His words are a timeless treasure for our land, so much so that it is exactly what we need in our country right now at this time. I wish our politicians and our media and our country would take to heart the words of our 16th president. President Abraham Lincoln said this, "We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Indeed, an attitude that is so needed in our land. President Lincoln also, during the time of conflict, wrote, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and all that is about me seemed insufficient. One stormy night, I tossed on my bed, unable to sleep, and as I thought of the terrible suffering of our soldiers, I spent an hour in agonizing prayer." Oh, let us pray for such humility for our nation, our state, and our community leaders. As you bow before the Lord during your time of prayer and you pray for our nation, won't you call out to God for humility from those who lead? Let us pray for a national acknowledgement of divine blessing that we have enjoyed as a nation. Take some time to thank God for what He has blessed us with. Let us recognize the reality of God's historic blessing on our land and on our country. Let us pray that our leaders and countrymen will be united once again in seeking the counsel of God each day and to make as their priority to honor God with truth, righteousness, and goodness in all their deliberations. Pray that our political servants would be more concerned with serving our country with a godly righteousness rather than to expedite their careers and enrich themselves by corruptly exercising the power that has been entrusted to them by the people of our land. Sadly, it seems to me there is a growing corruptness that continues to expand into our national, state, and local governments. A corruptness centered in self-directed ill-willed power, and wealth-grabbing. As our nation walks in confusions, no longer being able to agree that we exist as one nation under God. Our nation is paralyzed in confusion and discord as truth is ignored and exchanged for a lie. However, in my despair over the direction that my country has its feet pointed, though I mourn the direction we seem to now be headed, I do not despair about the future, because I know who holds our future. And for the record, I want you to know I'm proud to be an American, to live into this land, and to say this is my country. The question which continually followed me this week as I considered my blessing to live in this great country is, how am I, as God's born-again child, using my freedom to honor God and to glorify Him? Do I squander my American freedom on frivolous and worldly things? Do I become so inebriated with the glitter of the world that I lose sight of my American freedom? That I lose sight of it to the degree that I forget that it truly is a gift from God as this nation was founded? Have I lost the perspective that our freedom, beloved, is the platform that God has entrusted to us to be His light of the world? Are we the missionaries of the Lord with our freedom, or have we become the mission field as a nation? I believe our freedom in America comes with the divine-given stewardship responsibility. Now today I want to, as we wind down my thoughts on Memorial Day, I want to just remind you of a couple things. First of all, I remind you again this year that there is a flag protocol that we should follow on Memorial Day. The American flag protocol for federal buildings begins on the dawn of the day. At the dawn, the flag is quickly raised to full staff and then it is lowered to half staff. The flag remains at half staff from sunrise until noon, signifying that we are a nation under mourning as we honor the fallen servicemen and servicewomen who have given their lives while serving the American in the armed forces of our country. At noon, the American flag is then quickly raised to full staff in recognition of the living military veterans and the proclamation that America lives free. For those who fly a flag at home that cannot be lowered to half staff, a black ribbon is placed upon the flag about the size of the stripes on the flags and dangles from the top of the flag just below the ornamental ball. And this is a way that we honor as a country those who have fallen. There is also a largely unforeseen event prescribed by the U.S. Congress designed to bring our nation to a place of unity in honoring our fallen soldiers and their families. It's a rather sad commentary for us that it has been so forgotten, for this should be an important part of our citizens honoring our fallen military people and their families. The event that I'm asking you to participate in tomorrow on Memorial Day is called the National Moment of Remembrance. In December of 2000, to ensure the sacrifice of Americans, fallen heroes, never forgotten, the U.S. Congress passed and the President Bill Clinton signed into law the National Moment of the Remembrance Act. This National Moment of Remembrance encourages all American citizens to pause from their activity at 3:00 local time and spend one minute thinking about and reflecting upon our freedom and honoring those who have died in service to our country. So I'll never say this again, but I'll say this now. Take out your cell phone, set your alarm, let it go off at 3 o'clock to remind you that wherever you're at, no matter what you're doing or who you are with, that you will pause for 1 minute at 3 o'clock to just express your thanksgiving to God and your gratitude for living in such a great land and for those who have died to defend your freedom. The founder of this movement of the National Moment of Remembrance of Prayer is Camilla Lespada. And she made this statement: it is the way that we can help put the memorial back into Memorial Day. Camilla's story: she was a youthful volunteer in a military hospital for the Vietnam injured. And during her time of service, she made a promise to a severely wounded soldier to always remember the suffering and the sacrifice that he had made for our country. This is the promise Camilla kept. In 1970, Camilla founded a nonprofit organization called No Greater Love. And we know what that refers to. No greater love is this than a man to lay down his life for a friend. This organization ministered to thousands of families mourning the slain or the captured. Camilla wrote a bill and garnered support for it, and it is what we refer to now as the National Moment of Remembrance, remembering, appreciating, and being thankful for the sacrifices made. I want to just read for you, if I could, just some of the thoughts behind this bill. Number one, it is stated, it is essential to remember and renew the legacy of Memorial Day, which was established in 1868 to pay tribute to individuals who have made the ultimate sacrifice and service to the United States and their family. Secondly, greater strides must be made to demonstrate appreciation for those loyal people of the United States whose values, represented by their sacrifice, are critical to the future of the United States. Number three, the federal government has the responsibility to raise awareness of and respect for the national heritage and to encourage citizens to dedicate themselves to the values and principles for which those heroes of the United States died. Fourth, the relevance of Memorial Day must be made more apparent to present to future generations of the United States through local and national observances and ongoing activities that support Memorial Day. Fifth, in the House, concurrent resolution agreed that May 25th, 2000, Congress calls on the people of the United States in a symbolic act of unity to observe the National Moment of Remembrance to honor the men and women of the United States who have died in pursuit of freedom and peace. Number six, in the presidential proclamation on May 26, 2000, the president proclaimed Memorial Day, May 29, 2000, as a day of prayer for permanent peace and designated 3 p.m. local time on that day as the day to join in prayer and to observe the National Moment of Remembrance. And finally, seventh, a National Moment of Remembrance and other commemorative events are needed to reclaim Memorial Day as a sacred and noble event that the day is intended to be. I don't know what the rest of the world is, or the rest of the United States is going to do tomorrow, but I invite you to participate in the National Moment of Remembrance and to reflect upon those who have given so much, for we have gained so much through it. I want to just kind of share with you a little video here, followed by a song.
If we look to the answer, as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth. It was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
Our Father, we come to you today with hearts of humility and gratitude for the freedom that you have not only given us in Jesus Christ, but the freedom that you have blessed this land with and that we are able to partake in and live. Lord, we recognize that even though we call it freedom, we know that it is not free, that it comes at a price and has come at a steep price. Hundreds of thousands who have laid down their lives in order that we might live free here. Now, Lord, we understand that in the direction that our country is going, that there are many things that we do not do right. We know that there is a drifting from the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and for this we cry out with repentance to our Lord and ask for your forgiveness, Father. And we pray that you would guide and direct, and even more importantly, that those leaders would listen and hear, and would follow your leadership in the deliberations of the duties and the decisions they have to make on behalf of the American people. We ask our Father that there would be a revival that would sweep through our land, that would change the course of direction that we are now going. And at any rate, Lord, regardless what others would decide to do, we choose to stand in the freedom that you have provided us here in America and to make proclamation of the Savior who has died for us. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to use this freedom in such a way that we would be influencers of others who would seek to investigate, find, and claim the Savior Jesus Christ, and the hope that we have for eternity in you. We pray for peace throughout our land. We pray for peace throughout the world. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I'm proud to be an American. More importantly, I'm proud to be a child of God. And I thank you, our Father, for both of these blessings in my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. Susan?